make sure everybody understands, you know, what we touched on last week, because it's not the easiest thing to understand, okay? We're going to make an argument for the existence of God from the, what is called the anthropological standpoint. Now, what does anthro mean?
Human.
We're going to make an argument for the existence of God from the existence of, there's a new one, the existence of man. Does that make sense? Either you are too tired or you're still dealing with sugar from the cinnamon roll, because you guys have this stone cold, absolutely no life look, all of you.
What?
Yeah, it's like no one's answering.
I answered.
No. I just asked a question. It's like, you didn't hear it? You can't hear that? So is this not on?
No, we can hear you when you're listening.
Okay. If you logically think it through, why could we argue for the existence of God from the existence of humans?
Because we're made in his image.
Yes, louder.
Because we're made in his image.
We're made in his image, and therefore have characteristics of him in our culture, okay? This is what ultimately the anthropological argument centers around. This is why we put this verse here. He has set eternity in their heart. Okay? There is a longing within man for what?
Eternity.
Something beyond this life. Okay? Yeah, something else. Which that longing comes from another longing that we have, a subsequent longing, which is meaning or purpose or significance. Okay? And so we talked about this last week a little bit. That the anthropological argument is based on the presence of human beings, anthropos means human, on Earth. Consider several unique aspects of human beings. Okay? Now, the majority of the world believes in evolution. And as Roger mentioned to me last week as I was walking out, and you will run into this, and I know that Ron has, if you've had any sort of conversation with an atheist, okay, and they believe in evolution, they really don't know why they believe what they believe. They don't have sound reasons. They can't really argue. Mm-hmm. It's like what the same thing that I said to you when I first started this Sunday school class 6 years ago. You believe because someone in your life, an authority figure, told you it was true. Remember that? And I said, don't believe what I'm saying. Do your own patient, careful study. Alright? Well, most people don't do that. They were taught a ridiculous theory. It's just that, a theory. That God doesn't exist, and that their existence in this world is the result of an evolutionary process. Okay? And the way that they explain their existence is, through as it says here, is evolution. Now, in essence, what is evolution? Without looking at the notes, how would you describe evolution?
Chance development.
Yeah, chance development from nothing. Okay, what else?
Over time, organisms and cells.
It's a
theory that we were randomly created by chance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were randomly created by chance.
Chemicals.
Right.
Mutations.
Ingredients.
The things that used to be more primitive than what we think they are now have evolved into something higher.
Right.
As in human beings compared to
Right. Other
animal groups.
Very good.
But they can't ever come up with what it's all started with, where that came from.
Right.
What's the big thing?
So basically,
yeah, but the Big Bang was something turned into something bigger.
Right.
You got to start out with something, and something doesn't come from nothing.
Yes.
So basically, we evolved from the opposite of the law of entropy.
Right. Do you understand the law of entropy, it says?
Things go from more complex to less.
Yeah, from order to disorder. It's there's chaos, okay? It's about chaos. And so, the best example would be, even if I were to buy a brand new 2023 Honda Civic, and all I did was put it in my garage and cover it up. What would eventually happen to it?
It would wear down.
And deteriorate.
Deteriorate, right? Yeah, and that's the law of entry. Okay. What? ENTROPY. And just when you think of entropy, think of disorder and think of wrong. Okay?
Just read wrong.
I have to make fun of Ron. He's going to leave soon. I have no one else to make fun of.
Yeah.
But Carol?
This week.
This is it. Okay? So I'm going to try to do a. Dish out to Ron every 5 minutes. Okay? Y'all in favor for that? Raise your hand.
Aye.
Any nays? No nays? Good.
Nay.
All right. What? So you lost. You lost. So entropy, disorder, what do we think of?
Ron.
Say it. 1, 2, 3. Ron. Okay. So that's what entropy is, okay? So the atheist believes in evolution as the answer to our existence. Well, when I say nature, that's what we're saying is kind of what evolution is. But nature is an indifferent brute process of chemicals colliding by random chance over billions of years. Probably summed up in less words of what Rodney just said, but that's basically what it is. And nature is what word they use, is an indifferent brute process. Indifferent meaning what? What's the opposite of indifferent? If you're not indifferent, then you are caring or personal. Brute, meaning what? It's the opposite of brute. And when we say indifferent, it's impersonal. Brute, meaning that it's the natural selection. What is natural selection?
Almost like survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest, okay? And it's this. Over billions of years, these chemicals colliding by chance. So the force behind it, behind evolution, is what? Chance. Okay? Now, logically think this through. Is chance a force?
No.
It is not. But that's what they would have you believe. Okay? It's evolutionary theory is like saying that, well, anything's possible. Right? Now, all life forms are the result of mutations that occurred gradually over billions of years, beginning with a single-celled organism. And of course, the question becomes, where did this single-celled organism come from? They can't answer that. They have no good argument for that, which is why at the highest levels of academia, they do not believe in evolution. Okay? They don't know what else to say, but they certainly won't believe in creationism by God. But how did that single-celled organism come into existence? The atheist says chemicals such as ammonia, methane, and hydrogen were energized by lightning, resulting in amino acids. Those amino acids randomly assembled to produce protein molecules that eventually resulted in a one-celled creature. Okay, yeah. But if you've given a cell's complexity, and I don't even have the time to go into, you have to research more, the complexity of one human cell.
Crazy.
Okay? Just to give you an idea, we'll be talking about the flood a little bit later in our sermon series. All the animals that are in existence today, all the creatures, whether it be in the sea or in the land animals and so on, birds of the air, they all came from those animals, those select few that were in the ark. So in other words, all the animals that we see today, they all weren't in the ark. But they were where?
In the genes.
In the genes, the DNA of all of those animals that God saved. Okay? That makes sense? So it's incredibly complex. If you were to take the DNA strand of a human being and stretch it out, I read this the other day, I'm probably going to butcher this, but it would be like, I don't know, how many miles long. That's how complex we are. But anyways, given a cell's complexity, the probability of a cell of something by chance obviously is extremely remote. Yes?
The odds from that last paragraph in one of the videos we get from Dr. Yeah. Tom said the odds of that happening are the same as 1 over the number of molecules in the universe.
Right. Now that being said, why do people still believe in evolution?
Well,
in this theory.
They want to.
Why do they want to?
Because they're refused to believe.
So they don't have to deal with God.
They don't have information.
They don't have to deal, they don't have to be accountable. They don't have to deal with God. They can live the life that they want to live. They suppress the truth, Romans 1, 18, 32, okay? They suppress the truth. How does the evolutionist explain a single-celled creature evolving into a fully functioning human being with such intricately designed mechanisms as the eyeball or brain? Okay? Do we know how complex the brain is? The only thing I know about my brain is that I am brain damaged. Raise your hand if you're a man.
Oh,
everyone raise your hand.
Yeah.
They had no.
The corpus callosum.
Is that what you heard, Pete? Are you not a man? Raise it, Brian.
Keep raised.
Keep raised. Keep raised, everybody. Say, I am brain damaged. You are, as a man, you're brain damaged. I can't remember what week of.
26
week of development.
The corpus callosum gets a hormone wash.
You get a hormone wash, and that determines your sex. Okay? And you're like, that's when our brains get damaged. Which gives us an ability to focus and get things done. And I get an amen from the congregation. But the woman has all these electrical connections still in place, which is why she can think and feel and do a billion things at once. Okay? That's why they can explain their emotions better. We're like, oh, I'm feeling something, but I'm in this area of my brain. I got to get out of it and go over here and try and explain what I'm feeling. Women can do that instantaneously. They have an intuition that we don't have. Every piano tuner is a man. Why? Because of the left side of our brain, we are able to hear sound that a woman simply cannot hear. Look in the Bible, it talks about left-handed warriors that could slingshot rocks with great accuracy. There's uniqueness to each of us, okay? But men, we are brain damaged. But look how complex we are. Women, you are not.
Oh, we are, just in a different way.
So, I learned that from folks in the family meeting kind of call-up that years ago. Okay? And I can't even get into the complexities of the human eye. That being said, the atheist answer is that given enough time, simple life forms will evolve through slight changes into complex life forms. Anything is possible. That's like saying, given enough time, the car sitting in my garage will evolve into a luxury ocean liner. If that were true, I have, what, 3 or 4 cars? I could sell those and be done. Yes, a fleet. Even if the evolutionary theory answered the question of human existence, which it does not, how do we explain human consciousness? Why are we aware of our existence? The evolutionist answers that consciousness is the result of evolutionary development. Again, what? Given enough time, there will be enough slight mutations until an organism develops an awareness of its existence. Okay, go ahead.
That's why people believe in aliens, because they think we can meet, even evolve into something telepathic, like
aliens. Sure. We talked about last week the incredibly hard passage in Genesis 6:24, the demons, the fallen angels, cohabitating with the daughters of men, and the hope, I believe, is that they would create these, like, Perseus, Zeus, and the Greek god Zeus, in relations with a female human, and he created Perseus, half god, half man. You know, and we love that. We love to think about that, and we spend a lot of money watching movies about that. And what do we call those special people?
How can it lead?
Superheroes, right? To the next level that we would move to. Okay.
They may say it would be possible, but that's not possible because every little step has to be able to exist on its own. And so you're jumping hurdles, multitude of hurdles, in order to get to a point of existence that can survive without
right.
just a huge jump in their space.
Right, it is faith, but it's what they believe, and again, they're believing what they believe because they've been blinded, and they willingly choose to suppress the truth, or they know the truth and they just will suppress it. Okay? Now, As far as science knows, natural laws have no exceptions. Okay, this is where it gets hard for me, and it's going to be hard for you. This is definitely true of the law of cause and effect, which is the most universal and most certain of all laws. When they first talked about the law of cause and effect, when they observed it, you know, remember when? I said it last week. Plato, Aristotle, all of that. Way back then, okay? Obviously, what is the law of cause and effect in its basic form?
Every action has equal and opposite reaction.
Every action has an
equal and opposite.
Newton's third.
There is no effect without a cause, okay? Rhea's here because she is the cause of mom and dad, okay? All of us here. There's eventually, you go back, there's going to be a cause to something. It's an observable, irrefutable law built into our universe, okay? Every material effect must have an adequate cause that existed before the effect. Now, when we think of material, we think of matter. So matter must have an adequate cause that existed before matter. Okay? A spirit, then, must have an adequate cause that existed before that. It must be a spirit. Okay? So material effects, and what are material effects? The chair you're sitting on.
The effect of gravity.
Yeah. The table. Anything that's made up of matter, without adequate causes, do not exist. Okay? Now the first law of thermodynamics, and I know I'm going to sound really smart here, and I am not, states, you know what that states? That no new matter is being created.
Conservation of matter.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so, but matter or material effects without adequate causes do not exist. You need to remember that. Because of the law of cause and effect. Also, causes never occur after the effect. In addition, the effect never is greater than the cause. And really, that's the key point. Because what we're going to argue is that the anthropological argument of for the existence of God is that the longings, the for meaning and significance and to love and for rationality and consciousness, all those, where did they come from? And so what I want you to do is, before we get there, look at that. You have that on your in your printout there. What is that?
It's a canvas.
Blank canvas. Okay, I want you to think of that canvas, a blank canvas, okay, as the whole evolutionary process. So within those, that white little realm there is everything that has ever existed and will exist in the universe. Okay? Does that make sense? So over time, you would write, if you were to paint on that, a human being, you would say that from that canvas eventually came humanity. From that canvas eventually came a mountain, water, gravity, everything. Nothing outside of that canvas ever existed, and it only existed within that canvas, and that is the ultimate background through which everything came into existence. That is reality. Okay? I'm trying to give you a visual of what evolution is saying. Okay? Now, for example, within that canvas, and you paint different things on that canvas, and you paint a human, but humans hunger for food, thirst for water. So what should you be able to, what should that canvas, that ultimate backdrop of everything that ever existed, be able to provide for that hunger and that thirst?
Food, water.
Food and water, right? Mm-hmm. And where else can it come from? Can it come from outside that canvas?
No,
it cannot. It can only come from within that. Does that make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, what we'll get to in a moment here is that the longing that we have for consciousness, rationality, love, meaning, significance, all of that, those longings have to have an answer.
Right, we have to have a cause.
Okay? In other words, they've come from where?
No.
That canvas, right? And if we long for meaning, long for significance, that ultimate reality, that canvas, should be able to provide for that longing, to fulfill that longing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If it cannot fulfill that longing, then what happens to human existence?
It came from outside of us.
When a life becomes unexplainable. Let me show you what I mean by this. We'll go back here.
Unless you have a creator outside of that existence.
But that's not, yeah. That's what we've said it would be, but that's not what they're saying.
Okay. I see. There isn't a canvas.
In other words, what would happen be that human beings and the longings that we have become, which we are the effect of evolution, we've become greater than the
cause.
Does that make sense? And that's not possible.
That
is not. An effect cannot become greater than the cause is an immutable, unchanging, irrefutable law of science, a natural law. So, for example, I tried to explain this, which is very hard. A river does not turn muddy because a frog jumped in. Because the effect, the frog, is too small, right? The book doesn't fall off the table because a fly landed on it. Those are not adequate causes. So for whatever effects we see, we must present adequate causes. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody there?
Yes.
Okay, which is why I put this up here. Just to give you a visual. That the ultimate background of all of our existence, the canvas from which is painted all reality, it must be able to meet all of our needs. If not, human life, human existence becomes unexplainable. Is everybody following me? That's the gist of the argument. Okay, so, human beings, here's the argument, are personal beings. We have a mind that is self-aware or is conscious and is rational. In other words, if you've ever been married, both husband and wife want to be understood, right?
Amen.
Right? We're rational, right? And we want to be understood. That's where that comes from, that rationality. We also want to make sense of what's happening in the world. When there's a tragedy, we want to know what?
Why?
Okay? We want to know why. And our world doesn't make sense when... And you know, everyone feels this way. A repeat offender of a crime is set free within 24 hours, and they repeat the same crime and are arrested and repeat the let go. And repeat, I mean, it makes no sense. And our rational minds can't comprehend that, right?
Right, right.
It's folly. Okay? We have a heart. We have mind, heart, and soul. We have a heart that is free, meaning that we're accountable for our choices. It's loving. We all want to love and to be loved, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And one of the best arguments for the fact that we are loving people is simply listening to music. How many love songs are out there? You know? Right. We have a heart that is morally responsible. Okay? You see right now that heart that is morally responsible. The people that are fed up with crime, okay, I have a chance to vote on the people that don't. Well, right now, it's the Democratic Party that's denying that there's even any crime. Okay, that first of all, it's not rational, but it's also people aren't comfortable walking outside in the cities. And that's not right. What's going on with this person isn't right. Well, that's a morality of humanity, and it's in our heart. And then we have a soul. So a mind, a heart, and a soul. The soul longs for meaning and significance. Why am I here? What am I here to do with my time? Okay? We think about, well, what good is it if, to live a good life if all I'm going to do is cease to exist? We all long for a part of us to continue to live on, right? To make a difference, which is why we have what?
Kids.
Children. Right? So consciousness, rationality, love, morality, and meaning constitute the essence of what it means to be a person. Does that make sense? Now, this is where when you're talking to your atheist friend, or the person that doubts the existence of God, you have to get them to agree to this. And I don't think anything that we're saying right now is out of touch with reality and is disagreeable. Correct? And once you get them to agree to this, then you have them. And you will force them to admit certain truths. Okay? You need to remember this stuff because I'm going to have you write out your argument for this. Okay? We'll see how. In the class, not on your own, but in the class, okay? Now, that being said, the dilemma everyone faces is this. Either we exist in an environment or cosmos or nature which is compatible with these attributes, or we do not. In other words, our environment understands these attributes and provides an answer or a solution to them, or it does not. In other words, these are the attributes: consciousness, rationality, love, morality, and meaning. We live in an environment, and this is the environment right here, right? That canvas, for most people, it's not for us, we believe in God who creates us, that understands that we have these longings and can provide an answer or a solution to them, or it does not. And again, for example, we hunger, behold, there is food. We thirst, and behold, there is water. We have sex drives, and behold, there is sex. Our environment, the ultimate background from which we exist, that canvas, that white canvas, is compatible with our natural hunger, thirst, and sex drives. It understands them and provides for these needs. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I understand that, but the point I'm making is that where these desires come from, there has to have an answer, a solution to it. Okay? Because the cause is what? That blank canvas, which is the evolutionary process, and nothing exists outside of that, it has to be able to provide, understand it, these longings, and then also provide and fulfill those longings. That's what it is. Can our environment or our cosmos answer the basic features of our personhood? Consciousness, rationality, love, morality, and meaning. Can it?
No.
Unless the cosmic environment, then, that blank white canvas is ultimately itself personal, meaning it is conscious, it is rational, it is loving, it is moral, and it is purposeful, then our cosmic environment is incompatible with our personhood. It is unable to understand and answer the desires that arise out of it. You follow me so far? I know this is not the easiest thing. Are you following me?
Yes.
Marie, follow me, or is this? You look like you're kind of lost. Okay.
No.
Debbie, go ahead. Not really. Help me explain this to Debbie. What am I missing? Because there's different ways of explaining.
What does she know?
But human beings are personal beings.
Right.
And those consciousness,
right.
Rationality, love, morality, meaning.
Right.
Those longings, those desires,
those have
to, they're the effect.
Right.
They came from evolution. That cause, okay? Cause is evolution, it's that blank canvas, and the effect is the desires of love or consciousness, rationality. Now, all those things have to be fulfilled in this world, because it can't be fulfilled anywhere else, because nothing else exists outside of the evolutionary process, which is that little blank canvas,
okay?
Okay? That makes sense, everybody?
Yeah.
So unless the cosmic environment, that blank canvas, is ultimately itself personal, if ultimately it's conscious, it's rational, it is loving, it provides, is meaningful, it is purposeful, then that blank canvas, our cosmic environment, it doesn't understand and it cannot fulfill those desires. And those are desires, those meaning, all that stuff is understood universally within the human experience. Everybody wants to be loved and loved. Everybody wants to understand reality and be rational about it. Everyone thinks it's not right when you get cut off at the intersection, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that because we hit our horns. Yeah. Or we call down she-bears, like I do, to eat them alive, or to open up the ground below them and to crush them so they will never do that again, right? Like Elijah did. Did you get the idea here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You gonna say something?
I was just gonna, you got there eventually, but I was just gonna try to help as far as like, it's that, it goes back to that cause and effect. The cause, yeah, that's, but then he eventually covered that.
Okay. So again, in other words, unless there's a personal God who is the ultimate reality within which we exist, is that the only other explanation? Because, well, okay, I don't believe in evolution, I believe in intelligent design. Okay? Because there's so much evidence that there's too much design and complexity in human, and science is proving this, human experience, and so there's only way to say is, I'm not going to say God created us, but there is an intelligent designer. Then all of a sudden, the intelligent designer has to be what? Rational, conscious, loving, meaningful, and right? All of those things. All of a sudden, that's starting to look like what? A person, which is God. Make sense? So it's a personal God who is the ultimate reality. It's the ultimate reality. Think of that blank canvas. Okay? Unless there's a personal God who is the ultimate reality within which we exist, then human beings can only be viewed as, and you should underline this, absurd, tortured freaks of nature. For everything that is essential to us is simply out of place in this universe. Do you understand that? And this renders human nature completely unexplainable. How could brute nature, an indifferent root process, nature, evolves something so out of sync with itself? Evolution itself is indifferent. It's not personal. It's brute. It is not loving. Okay? It's not rational. It's chance. Okay? How could these undeniable longings exist and come from something that itself is not personal? Is not rational, is not loving. It means that the effect has become greater than the
cause.
You're getting it now, right? Mm-hmm. And is that possible?
No.
It is not. It is not. And it means then that human existence is extremely painful and nothing but the product of a cruel, sick, cosmic joke. And that is what Carol, in a roundabout way, without realizing what she was doing in her conversation with the atheist friend, basically pointed to her atheist friend. What's next? After this life, what's next? And what did her friend do? I don't want to talk about that. She doesn't want to face that reality. So she's living in denial. And denial's not a river in Egypt. Right? Alright? And that's what they do. Right? It's biblical. They deny reality. Reality is truth. They deny the truth. They're suppressing the truth. They don't want to live. So funny. This friend of hers is rational, right? She wants to make sense of the world. Yet when faced with the truth, what does she do in a rational mind?
Hides.
What?
Hides.
Hides. And she suppresses the truth. She hides it. Denies the truth. Because the truth is our friend. If you embrace it, if you're going to fight against, truth is ugly. It's painful. Okay? You have truth on your side. Okay? And truth, of course, is who?
Jesus.
Okay? Do you understand what I've gone over so far? You're going to need to read it, reread it, reread it. But in essence, the effect cannot be greater than the cause. And we human beings, with those basic longings that arise out of our personhood, again, consciousness, rationality, love, meaning, purpose, all those things. Mm-hmm. The cosmic environment has to be able to fulfill those desires. If it cannot, the effect has become greater than the cause. Okay? And how can something that is not personal, that is indifferent, that is not rational, that is not loving, okay, produce something that is so beyond itself? Well, then, the only logical explanation is it didn't create us. We came from another source. Okay? So, for example, I'll explain it even more. Humans instinctively assume that reality should be rational and that reasoning gets us closer to the truth. Okay? And I said to you that when we think about reason, think of the movie A Few Good Men. Remember that? Mm-hmm. In the end, when Jack Nicholson said, you know, he says, I want the truth, he says, you can't handle the truth, and he catches the colonel, played by Jack Nicholson, in a contradiction, and thus he implicates himself as being responsible for the murder of this one man in the Marine Corps. He used reason. He used logic. That's what they do in a court of law. Right? There's evidence, and you're able to tie the evidence and supposed to argue through reason that your client is either guilty or not guilty. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we instinctively assume that reality should be rational. Okay? For example, if you want to write this down, did Einstein invent or discover his theory of relativity?
Discover.
How did he discover it? It made sense.
Observation.
But it made sense because the reality within which we live is rational. Okay? It already existed because the universe or our God is rational. He created us. Science agrees that this assumption is valid. But in the end, nature is what? Evolution is what? Irrational. Right?
Yep.
How is nature irrational? Do you guys understand that phrase?
It doesn't make any sense. If you follow that theory, it doesn't make any sense.
Evolution says that we came about by what?
Mutations and chance.
Chance. It's indifferent. Okay? It's chance. It's not reasonable at all.
The interesting thing is, to say that we came from mutations and you mutated into something better goes against, and I know we all agree upon this in this room, goes against all science because, you know, a single strand break of the DNA, you know, a lot of times it'll just go back. But the double strand break, it's not going to go back to what it was. It's going to go back to something less as great, which is how we eventually get cancer, is the double strand breaks of DNA helix. So it's like, it doesn't make any...
Right.
You can't mutate into something better, we mutate into something worse.
So you have a loving God who created you, okay? And that's rational, okay? You have a bunch of chemicals colliding with no reason behind it over billions of years. That's irrational, okay? And that's the ultimate background from which an atheist must believe. That blank canvas is irrational. Does that make sense? It's irrational. Humans also instinctively assume that love is a reality. We desire to give and receive love. But nature is an indifferent, brute, loveless process of chemicals colliding, and thus our ideas of love are reduced to what?
A chemical reaction.
Okay? If there is no loving God behind you that created you to be like himself and to love, and the desire to love that came from your creator, if he doesn't exist, And again, that blank canvas, that white blank canvas, is nothing but an indifferent brute process of chemicals colliding. Then when I have a feeling of love towards my wife, it's a complex burp, basically. It's a chemical reaction. That's what love is reduced to. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you understand that, Marie? Because that's the ultimate background with which we came from. It's a bunch of chemicals coming together and going off at certain stages over billions of years.
Cold chocolate.
Now, even with a rational mind would say that that simply isn't true, right?
Right.
But that's what love is reduced to. Humanity also instinctively assumes that our moral convictions are consistent with reality. But there are those who say that moral convictions are personal preference, but cut them off at the intersection, and what happens? Everybody does what? Gets angry, honks the horn, or says something they shouldn't say. And why? Because what that person did was what?
Wrong.
That's universally accepted. Okay? And that fits with reality. Right? Are you with me so far? Mm-hmm. And humans instinctively hunger for meaning and purpose. We strive to infuse our lives with significance. But if our cosmic environment, that blank canvas, is ultimately indifferent and purposeless, and here we go, all we are, all we do, all we believe in is dust in the wind. Okay? It does not matter what you believe in, what you think, and what you do. Because ultimately, as Carol's atheist friend would have to admit, that's it. The game's over, and there's nothing else beyond this life. And if that's the case, what rationality I have, I would not be a pastor. I would seek pleasure in this life 24/7. Everything is ultimately meaningless. So unless the ultimate source of all existence, that blank white canvas, is at least as personal as we are, who we are is both unexplainable and extremely difficult to swallow. Put another way, evolution, indifferent, loveless, brute process of chemical reactions, can't create personal beings who are conscious, the consciousness, rational, loving, moral, and long for meaning, because that would mean the effect has become greater than the cause. Go ahead.
And every great thinker in the atheist movement has always come to the conclusion that the only thing left to do is commit suicide because there is no meaning.
Right. Right. Imagine really logically thinking this through, and, you know, while you're still a moral person, but you're an atheist, and you've done all the good things you've done, and you come to this conclusion maybe later on in your life, and you realize that all that money I gave away, all my philanthropic efforts, all the things I've done, it's meaningless. It matters not. That is a hopeless life. Does everybody kind of get this argument so far? Because next week when you come in here, we will briefly go over it. Now, I'm going to have you do what I did. You're going to take some time and you're going to write out a conversation you have with an atheist friend. Literally, write it out. And like the first question you would ask. Okay? And then you're going to put your argument forward. Like, I believe that human beings are personal beings. You'd write out all these things that they are. Would you agree with that? And the person would say, yes. Here's a question I have for you. And you ask a series of questions that will bring them to the conclusion that, you know, basically the existence of our personhood and all those desires that come out of it are unexplainable other than we came from a personal God. Does that make sense? I'm going to basically have you take all this information and write it down in a conversation format. Okay? It's a great way of learning your material. Any questions? We can jump forward to the end here.
Do you want us to do that at home this week and bring it back with us? Or?
I know that some of you may want to do that if you want to. Some can't. I like, some people are so busy they just have to go all the time. Let me read this last quote to you real quick. It's from C.S. Lewis. If the universe was brought about by an accidental collision, the appearance of organic life on this planet was also an accident. And the whole evolution of man was also an accident. If so, then all our present thoughts are accidents. The accidental byproduct of the movement of atoms. This holds for the thoughts of the materialists and astronomers as well as for everybody else. But if their thoughts are merely accidents, why should you believe any of them? I see no reason that one accident should be able to give me a correct account of all other accidents. Okay? Each particular thought is valueless if it is a result of irrational causes. Obviously, then, the whole process of human thought, what we call reason, is equally valueless if it is a result of irrational causes. Hence, every theory of the universe which makes the human mind a result of rational causes is inadmissible. For it would be a proof that there are no such things as proofs, which is nonsense. But evolution is commonly held is precisely a theory of this sort. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So everything that your atheist friend says is valueless. All right, we pray. Lord, thank you for bringing everybody here. We continue to prepare hearts to worship you. Keep us distraction-free as we take communion and as we worship you and we hear your word this morning preached to us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.